Today on the show, we return to our roots. We carry on fighting for a lost cause, and we learn more about our enemy. Welcome back to Lore Party's special coverage of the Halo television series. On this limited run of the Lore Party podcast, we'll be providing in-depth recaps of each episode of the new Paramount Plus series based on the timeless sci-fi shooter franchise. My name's Connor.
My name's Kevin.
And my name's Jaden.
He's back!
Welcome back, Jaden.
He's back. Yeah. I had to take a little break. Episode 3 kind of broke me, so I decided to step away and... I didn't want my negative energy to permeate into this wonderful show with my wonderful friends, so I decided to take a step back, rejuvenate, and jump right back into episode 4, which immediately brought me right back into it.
You're so bad at lying, I can tell, because you're singing while you're talking.
I have to smile, otherwise the pain will hurt me.
Jaden watched episode 3 and hated it so much he went into an anger coma. And didn't wake up until just the other night. So
he got so mad he broke his car just so he could work on it.
Well, we're glad you're feeling better and back on the mic with us in the cut to discuss episode 4, Homecoming.
Absolutely, I can't wait. I have thoughts.
Yeah, this episode is. I will say this episode may not be as good as episode 3, but it was still pretty good. Still better than 1 and 2. That's for sure.
Yeah, as Kevin and I sort of hashed out last time, we both enjoyed 3. I liked 4 quite a bit too. It's again, this show continues to be a mixed bag for me. I think I've mentioned that before, but overall, I was pretty happy with it. I know that not everyone here at the table shares that, obviously, but we'll as usual, we'll do a quick recap, break down the episode beat by beat. And then get into what we thought of it. So,
yeah.
Kevin, what happened? Episode 4.
A lot happened. So we're going to try to do this recap pretty quickly. A lot happens, like, in this episode. Like, it's crazy. Back and forth shots. Like, it's you're getting a lot of different perspectives, and it's pretty quick at points. So we're going to try to do this fairly fast here. So the episode opens again with a flashback. Mm-hmm. Hey, look at that.
Seen a lot of those.
Kind of a pattern here. Yeah. Wow.
Ooh. A lot of those.
Yeah, right. So we have a flashback of all the young Spartans. We introduce, Silver Team. We see Soren as a child. They're all marching together. And they are like children, like kids. They are kids. And, they're doing a training, and then we see with like a CPO Mendez shouting orders and slogans and all that stuff, and then all of a sudden we see a young John Halo Master Cheeks 117
Master Cheeks,
and he's running and stuff.
I didn't even get to talk about the butt shot last week.
Oh yeah, you missed that.
So we see a young John, and then it cuts and he's in a room, kind of, it basically just looks like a jail cell, and then he's kind of comforted by like a young Halsey, and she kind of scolds him a little gently for trying to escape yet again. So turns out he's been trying to escape for quite some time. That time we saw in the other episode with Soren, he didn't, and that seems to be a little different then, I guess. That was like one of the first times he didn't want to escape. But so Halsey kind of scolds him a little bit. John says he wants to go home. Halsey kind of insists that, you are home, one of us, kind of shit. And he volunteered to be there. And he's kind of like, I did? Yeah, okay, I'm like 5. She goes on to kind of impress upon him that how he's really special and how, he has potential to lead the Spartans to greatness. And she says the quote, she's like, you're going to save all of us. And it's crazy indoctrination bullshit. Like,
as per usual.
She's fucked up. I hate her even more. Like, it's really gross the way she like talks to him. It's really disgusting. So we see this scene, and then all of a sudden it cuts back to the present, and it kind of does the Jon Snow kind of cut where like you see the younger version of him, like the baby, and then all of a sudden it cuts to the older version. We see present Jon, and then Cortana, and then Halsey, and then her creepy Adun,
assistant,
lab
Aiden,
assistant, yep. Who, dude, oh, is it Aiden?
I'm pretty
or
sure it's Aiden. It's just spelled Adun.
Okay, Aiden. It's bro, who gives a shit? Okay, he's a creep, man. That's all I'm going to call him. He's a creep.
He's a weird guy. He has a weirdly spelled name. Everything about him is weird. Fucked vibes from this guy in general.
My God. Again, I got so much I didn't get to talk about last week.
So basically, they are on their way to John's home planet, and we see John kind of just staring out at the viewport at, quote, you know, slip space. And he says that it looks different. And Cortana's like, what's going on? And she explains that, you know, no one can really see slip space. And to which John then responds, you're ruining it. And it's kind of an allusion to earlier when Quan and Master Chief were kind of sitting there and they were like first, you know, in slip space. And it was kind of Quan's first experience with it. And he just was like indifferent to it. And now he's kind of like, whoa, bro, this is fucking cool. And so then Aiden, the lab assistant, he kind of looks at Halsey and warns her that like John's acting, quote, un-Spartan-like. And so Halsey theorizes that the artifact from Madrigal might have some form of like intelligence behind it. And then she seems a little keen on identifying like what intelligence that is. And she doesn't necessarily like dismiss Aiden's concerns about John, but like I feel like she's super excited about like all this like new tech and shit that like she's just like, yes, I understand. John's okay right now. Like he's still fine. It's still unclear why John specifically is able to kind of interface with this artifact. And so she's like trying to figure it out. Like Halsey's like, okay, I got to figure this thing out. Cortana tells John that he's showing signs of anxiety, most likely for the first time in his adult life, or, you know, in life as like a person at the moment, besides 1 through 5. And he's obviously nervous about going, quote, home. So he's like kind of excited and he's getting flooded with all these freaking emotions. And he's like, what do I do? Oh my God, slip space. Oh my God, there's a woman in my brain. Like he's going, all sorts of shit is going on. It's, if you think about it, it's like kind of overload. It's pretty crazy.
But to be fair, though, he doesn't really visually communicate that much. He doesn't look worried at all. It's just he
looks a little shook, a little bit
uncomfortable.
But like not...
His facial expressions are still kind of like deadpan to a degree.
Well, it also could be too. It's like he doesn't really know. He might not know how to react to anxiety because he's never had it. So like that part of your brain, hey, you're supposed to feel nervous. He's like, I don't know what that is, man. I'm gonna be honest.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think that comes across pretty well from Schreiber's performance there.
I think he's great. So then after this scene, all of a sudden it cuts and it's on the approach to Madrigal. And Soren shares with Quan his experience as like an ex-Spartan. And he's explaining how his childhood memories previously blocked off from his like inhibitor chip and all that other stuff. They kind of started to reimpose themselves after he escaped and took all that stuff out of his body. And he emphasizes that the memories tell you who you are and remind you of what's important to you. He finds out, he says, you know, I remembered my dad. It took me a year. And then he looks at Quan. He's like, and then it took me a year to remember that I'm the one who killed him. Like, he's just like, it's and she kind of like steps back and is like, whoa, okay.
All right, weirdo.
And yeah, it was pretty weird. He's kind of creepy, man. Yeah. Like he really gives this like weird, creepy vibe.
It's just funny because like he didn't give me that vibe the first episode we met him, but like
he's very nonchalant in like
as the show. Like it was so funny. It was like, oh, he's a nice guy, and then later I was like, oh, he's not a nice guy. Episode 3 is like, oh, he's not a nice guy, and then episode 4 you're like, is he a nice guy? It's like
it's
that's unclear. It's just kind of like. The pattern he's setting is that he's very nonchalant in every situation, whether that's being friendly or being intimidating or being scary. Like everything he does, he's very effortless about. Mm-hmm. So like, it's almost sociopathic. Yeah. Like there's no difference between, you know, saying something really fucked up, like I killed my dad, or, you know, hey John, good to see you. Like they're the same thing to him. He's an interesting guy.
I feel like his emotions, even though he has them, the way he speaks and his cadence at times and about specific subjects, he has that almost like John style Spartan deadpan when he says it.
Yeah.
So it's like, maybe he's still fucked up from all that stuff. I don't know.
That's just how his personality is now. That's how he grew up, you know. But that scene is cool to me. It stuck with me because I think that's really setting the theme for this episode. The theme being memories and the power of memories and how they are key to your identity.
Yeah, that's your hint for the beginning of the episode.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So then we cut back to Reach. And Kai, she is the one Spartan who viewed Master Cheeks taking out his you know, little inhibitor chip thingy in his spine.
Yep. The Witness.
Yes, the Witness.
Taking out his Bactat pill.
Yeah. There you go. And so Kai cuts out her, you know, hormonal pellet.
I want to do that too. And,
yeah, right? And so the same way that, you know, John did.
Which
it.
I love that that's her first reaction to someone cutting themselves in front of a mirror. It's ooh, if Chief's doing it, it must be good.
She follows orders. She follows his example.
Yeah, pretty much. I think she had a natural curiosity that wasn't, I think so too, like, inhibited, to be honest. And so instantly you can tell by her demeanor, one of the Spartans walks up and is like, hey, are you okay? And she's just like, yeah, why? I'll see you later. Like, she already starts, like, acting more like, the fuck you want, bro? Yeah. Like, what? Like,
hey, Riz, what's up? Good to see you. Did you do something like that?
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, yeah, can I help you? Go
Hello,
away, please.
Fellow Spartan.
How do you do, fellow kids?
I am fine. How are you functioning today?
And so then John and Halsey, they reach Aradinus 2. And then as soon as they get there, John's childhood home is kind of found. They're looking for it, and they finally find it. And Halsey kind of explains that this part of a terraforming effort and the whole science expedition thing for the planet, she goes over what they were trying to do, and I believe it was only 6 planets or something like that. And then she says how much of a big effort it was and how it was so hard to do. And then she says, John, you know, your parents, they were heroes, just like you. And, like, does the same shit we see in the memory kind of style, like, trying to build him up. And they locate the spot, the exact spot he saw in his memories, and they just instantly start digging because he's like, you know, my dad buried something. I think it was all my pictures, or I think it was the artifact. I don't remember. And so they just start digging, and, like, you just see all these craters, like, just being dug. And so then, right after that, we cut right away to, you know, Madrigal, and we see Venture walking with, like, yo, we see him walking with a gang of dudes. They're all in, like, this weird, like, Matrix-style outfits.
Like, black leather coats.
I saw it, and I was like, yo, it's Elon Musk. Like, he's just, he literally, he's walking like that, and I just pictured that. He even has, like, a Cybertruck. Like, it's, like, right behind him.
Venture is what Elon Musk thinks he is. Basically,
Venture is the bright spot in the darkness for me because I don't like any of the characters so far. I'm gonna straight up say it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but like I'm meant to not like him, so I'm like, oh, this is great.
Yeah, he's fun to watch always.
So he's a bad guy.
Yeah, he's a very bad guy because then the first thing he says is he says hello to a local and they're like scared of him and run away and his guys are like, what do you want to do now? And he goes, it's time to thin out the herd. And so like, he just wants to start killing people? Fucking nuts?
I think he's referring specifically to, like, agitators. I think he knows that.
Pretty
like,
much, yeah. So then we cut to Quan and Soren, and then they make for the city on Madrigal, the main city, and they're kind of in search of, like, allies and supporters of Quan's father. One of her friends, they're going through, like, a market, like, super cluttered market, and, like, she's got her hoodie up and all that stuff trying to hide. And she meets a friend named Atu, and he warns Quan that it's not safe for her on Madrigal at all. And then he's like, you know, he offers to meet her at a memorial service that's going on that night for her dad. And Soren and Quan then turn around and they notice a bounty on her head that's still in effect. And she's like the most wanted person in Madrigal. But like while she's walking through, like she was already trying to hide herself. But while she's walking through this market, she like just takes her hoodie off and she's just like, oh my God, Atu, what's up? And it's like, bro, what? And even Soren's like, yo, what the fuck are you doing, kid? Like, put that shit back on.
Ixnay like, on the owing Shay, your ace fay.
Literally.
They're trying to murder us.
Literally. It is bonkers. She just keeps taking her, like, I will say this. She does it throughout the whole fucking episode and it drove me nuts.
Yeah.
Well, and she's isn't like you. Didn't her dad teach her how to like? You'd think her dad would teach her resistance, like insurgent training 101.
She's loud too. Yeah. She's just screaming the entire time. Like whenever she talks to anybody,
her dad is exactly the problem because she's in such a like entitled mode of like everyone on Madrigal loved my father, therefore they have to love me and do what I say. So it's like I don't know. I'm not a fan of Quan in this episode generally, but.
I wasn't a fan of, kind of annoying. The Madrigal stuff. What comes next is way more interesting.
Yeah, no. What was cool, we'll circle back on Quan later.
We'll circle back to Quan as many times as the show makes it. We'll circle back to her.
But what does come next is pretty cool. We go back to Reach where we see Kai. You know, this is after her impromptu surgery, copycatting John. And she's in the middle of, like, you know, cleaning her rifle. She's just, you know, keeping herself busy. She's doing what I would expect a Spartan does in their downtime, just, you know, taking care of their equipment. And in the middle of this, she looks over at the mirror again and just thinks, I have an idea. Just has, like, she's struck by an impulse and decides to dye her hair, just put coloring in it. And it's like this haphazard attempt. It's, you know, clumsy. It's kind of amateurish. It's probably the first time she's ever done anything like this. And she's using, like, her gun oil, which
yeah,
is, like,
she's using gun grease.
Yeah, like grease that she was cleaning
her gun
with.
I thought it was her blood.
I looked away for a second, and then I looked back, and I was like, is that her blood? And I rewind, it's like, oh, no, it's gun oil. Okay.
It was, like, it was way too greasy looking to be blood, and it was, like, just on her hands from cleaning her gun. That's what I assume. So I assume it's something, you know, some kind of lubricant, but it has, like, this reddish pink color. So she's like, this would look good in my hair. And, you know, so, like, she's blonde with, like, these weird pinkish streaks now. And it looks clumsy, like I said, but she seems happy with it. It's like, hey, no, this is something I did for myself. This is self-expression. And it's kind of, yeah, she's happy with it.
By the way, I know the show won't do this because it would distract from the plot, but I would have given anything for her when she was trying to take her pill out to miss and, like, nick a kidney.
Oh, God.
That would just to, like, just to show, like no, and I'm making the joke, but it's like, that would show, like, hey, Chief was useful in getting that thing out.
Yeah.
You know, like,
yeah.
I wish her, like, at least, like,
I
wish, like,
you mean, like, Cortana helped
her? Your Cortana, sorry.
Yeah, no, you're right.
Like,
yeah.
If she just dug at herself a little bit, like, oh, man, I can't find the thing that John pulled out of
that. That goes to show you, Kai, don't try and cut an implant out of yourself without an AI.
Improv surgery is hard, everybody. Yeah.
It was really cool, though, to see, like, how fast it was taking effect of, like, at least finding individuality.
Yeah. And
like, it was pretty quick.
Yeah. And you see more of that later on, like, you know, right after that, Dr. Miranda Keys.
Doctor, not commander. So
she's not a lieutenant, not a commander. She's just a doctor in the show.
That kind of made me a little sad. I was like, oh, so we're not going to get her leading troops into battle.
It's a different character.
Different direction.
But so Dr. Keys asks Silver Team, you know, so Kai along with Riz and Vanek to come help her run some tests on the Keystone. And, you know, as soon as she shows up, Kai, you know, they're all armored up. They're all in their helmets. And already, compared to the other two, Kai is, like, so outgoing and expressive more than normal. Like, she's just kind of there and just really chipper. Like, you know, just, hey, what are we doing today? And so she, you know, doesn't stand at attention when she walks in, you know, starts speaking out of turn, just doing some, like Aiden, the creepy guy, said earlier, doing some un-Spartan-like things. And kind of in response to this, or just kind of in general, Miranda seems to have this discomfort around the Spartans. She just never seems...
Why are my robots talking back to me?
Yeah, like, she seems so uneasy around them in general, but especially when Kai, you know, starts trying to make conversation, basically. Keys is like, okay, sure, all right. Like, just very...
Yeah, she's, like, weirded out. She's like, okay.
While that's happening, John and Halsey, back on Eridanus 2, they, you know, they strike pay dirt after digging for probably hours, and they find a cache of John's old sketches that he drew as a child. And Halsey's like, okay, perfect, let's take these back to HQ for analysis. Job's done. But John, he's not done yet. He wants to look through the rest of his abandoned house that's, you know, now overgrown with, you know, plant life, and he just wants to check it out. And he doesn't take no for an answer. He just walks up there and, you know, checks it out. And, you know, while all this is happening, we're still seeing more flashbacks, and we kind of get a clearer picture of John's childhood. And his father, who seems like a nice guy most of the time, but we see one memory in particular where he's kind of upset about John's drawing.
Kind of a jerk.
Yeah, a little bit of a jerk. He's like kind of doing this, like, I better not catch you drawing this again, John. Like,
it's weird. So weird. He's like, what are you drawing?
Yeah. Yeah, so...
John, we talked about this. No creative expression in this house.
I thought we agreed that you'd give up on this foolish dream of being an artist, John. What are you doing? But no, yeah, so it's kind of weird. Maybe we'll get more context on that later. But speaking of fathers, back on Madrigal, transition.
Whiplash. Again, like back...
Yeah, no, we're
back and forth.
The pacing
on
this episode was weird,
we're
man.
Flying all over the place. Yeah, so speaking of fathers, there's a vigil for Quan's father back on Madrigal, and it's kind of at night, and it's this somber, you know, candle-lit affair in the streets where people are just sort of hanging out and praying and chanting and whatnot, and Quan is disgusted. She's just insulted at how small the turnout is. She's like, why isn't the entire planet here for my father? She's have it. He has this attitude. It's such an
which
attitude.
Is great because the lady's like, lady, they're dead.
A lot of them are dead. Yeah, Ventress been capping guys in the face like for weeks now. Like, there's Madrigal's population took a hit. I'm sorry. But at the vigil, she recognizes a woman named Agatha, who was one of her father's generals. And she kind of just confronts Agatha like, hey, why aren't you fighting back? Why aren't the people of Madrigal, you know, keeping up what my father did? You know, why aren't they fighting for their independence? Yada, yada. And
keep in mind, she's like yelling this while like it's a vigil. It's, like people are like quiet and they're like praying.
They're
and, like,
sad
one
and
person,
scared.
Yeah, it's
literally one person is talking and they are just like, you know, saying a prayer and everybody's kind of there. And she's like, the other woman's like, oh my God, you're alive. And she's like, yes, I'm alive. Hello. It's like, oh my God, chill the fuck out.
It wasn't like full on yelling. It was a loud whisper though. It was like, have some decorum. Have some decorum.
Really loud.
A man died. You know him. He's called Dad.
But so, you know, during this heated discussion, Agatha has to explain that, you know, Venture's killed pretty much the entire remnants of the Madrigal Militia. There's not really many people left to fight.
Have you heard that movie, The Purge? He did that.
He did that, yeah. And, you know, this conversation sort of leads Quan to assume that, oh, Agatha's been bought off. Like, if what you're saying is true, why hasn't he killed you? And so, and Agatha, like, that's actually pretty clever of Quan.
That's actually a very fair point.
When Quan points this out, Agatha seems to confirm Quan's suspicions. And right then, Venture's goons arrive and, you know, start arresting people. You know, things get hairy. Quan and Soren narrowly escape that situation.
Quan grabs basically Rey's lightsaber, like literally looked like that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It was like one of those stun prod things. It was like some kind of baton.
Yeah.
But it looks exactly like Rey's lightsaber.
I forgot about that. Good call. So back on Aridinus 2, we're in Jon's childhood home. And Cortana does this nifty little trick where she kind of scans the environment and sort of virtually recreates the layout of the home. And he's kind of like seeing his memories come to life in front of him, which unlock, you know, new visions. He's like seeing more clearly and more completely these memories of his old life. He's seeing his parents, his dog, these visions of better, more innocent times. And he's completely ignoring Halsey at this point. Like, she doesn't exist to him. He's just really enraptured by these visions. And
which is great, because Halsey keeps going like, oh, that's cool. Hey, what's that?
she's trying to
keeps talking to him, and he eventually is just like, hold on a second. And he like basically tells her to shut up.
Yeah, no,
yeah,
it's
he puts
cool.
her on hold.
He has his priorities straight. And what's so what I love, one thing I loved about this scene is that there's this, you know, close-up shot of Jon's face, and he seems so serene. It's this
he smiles.
Calm, content smile on his face. And it's like he's the happiest he's ever been to just be reliving these moments. So that was a really nice, tender scene. But eventually these visions that Cortana helps him see, he recalls where he found the second object, the second artifact. But Cortana makes it clear to Halsey at this point that she's not showing Jon anything anymore. This is all coming directly from him. So this is all just stuff that was buried deep in his brain.
Yep.
And he, you know, digs deep enough into his mind to recover something he had never seen or thought of before. And it was a memory of Halsey herself visiting him here in this childhood home. He sees himself as a kid sitting on the counter and Halsey in front of him, and he's flipping a coin and guessing which side it'll land on, which is a direct callback to the novel The Fall of Reach. I love that.
It is.
You know, nice shout out. And when he kind of finishes this memory, he fixes this stare at Halsey that I would die of a heart attack immediately if anyone looked at me like that.
It's freaky.
You know what
bro.
I mean? Yeah, he does.
Yeah, she's like, I may have miscalculated.
yeah, like, seriously.
He gives her the meanest mug, the deadliest glare, and like he's like, we'll talk about this later.
I do want to say, like, in the episode, I think she even says, like, you know, you're really lucky, Jon, like to the kid after
yeah.
he like gets got yeah. and all the all I could think is my first five minutes, I go, not lucky enough to not get caught every time you try to escape from prison. It's like your luck is real shit when you try to escape to your freedom.
And this does remind us of what Soren said earlier about, you know, after you free yourself from the conditioning and the surgeries that make you a Spartan, like your memories come back. And it's almost, it's kind of implied that maybe Jon's interactions with the artifact sped up this process that Soren went
yep.
through. So yeah, pretty cool stuff. Another scene I liked right after was, you know, we're in Miranda's lab. At this point, Dr. Keyes has sort of run the tests and established that none of the other Spartans of Silver Team, Kai, Riz, and Vanek, none of them are able to replicate John's experiences with the artifact. Like, when they've all touched it, nothing happened. So they're all basically dead ends on that end of things. So they've kind of given up on that. But they're back in her lab and, you know, just sort of helping her out however they can. And Kai, you know, again, she's feeling herself and she's just speaking her mind now. And she starts showing some out of the ordinary enthusiasm for military research. And what's cool is that Riz and Vanek, they are still being their reserved Spartan selves, but they kind of go along with it. They sort of sound off like Miranda. Kai's like, oh, this is so cool. Check this out. This is a needler. You know how it works. And, you know, Riz and Vanek sort of weigh in on it. Like, yeah, cool. It's but very like, they have very clipped, punctual sentences. It's, you know, Vanek's like, very fire and forget. Like, he has these little remarks about what Kai is saying. So it's interesting. Like, I'll, you know, I have thoughts on that later, but I like this scene.
But also, because, like, they're just standing there, too. Like, they're still at attention. And she's walking around. She's looking at the worms that, like, are from the, I believe that the same worms from, like the hunters,
the hunter worms, she
picks up the whole needler and she's like, yo, check it out,
I'm gonna go up on a full rant on this later, but it was really funny. Miranda Keyes, she reacts like, she's like, when Kai picks up the gun, she's like, oh my god, you know, don't touch that gun. And then she's like, and then she like goes, you know, she goes through the whole thing of what it is and she goes, don't worry, see, there's no pink needles up here. And then Miranda's like, I know what a needler is. Like, well, then why were you scared when she picked it up?
Yeah, it was an interesting contrast between, like, Kai walking around just being really free and open, and Riz and Vanek still being statues, but they still, like, they still have this banter between themselves and Miranda. And, well, during this, they kind of casually reveal that they know Sangheili language pretty much. Like, this is stuff that they've just never shared with Miranda before, and so Miranda's shocked. Like, wait, what'd you say? Like, they use the Covenant term for the needler or something. Like, this piques her interest and kind of inspires Miranda to pursue a new branch of her research. And she's kind of realizing, oh, these Spartans are good for more than just killing things. You know, they're smart too.
I never thought to talk to them.
And this is actually a continuation of earlier when she's testing them. You know, we mentioned how Miranda's like uneasy around the Spartans, and Kai sort of calls her out on it. Like, she looks Miranda in the eye and says, you don't think much of us, do you? Dr. Keyes sort of deflects a little bit. She's like, well, I wouldn't say that. And Kai, you know, just doesn't let her get away with it. She says, no, you think we're just machines, but, you know, you don't realize how deep we are. And
I'm a real girl.
She kind of like stands up for herself and her teammates. Like, you know, we've done all these other things other than just winning battles. Like, I speak so many languages, or yada yada. Like, I've studied military strategy. Riz speaks so many languages. Vanek knows how swords work. And like, you know, just, we know more than you give us credit for. And that there's some payoff to that earlier scene here where Miranda's like, wow, these guys know a lot more than I thought they did. So that's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. We go back to Madrigal after this, where, you know, we see Soren's ship that they flew here in is just being picked apart by scrappers, and he's angry.
Yep.
That's his favorite ship. He's pissed off. And so he's, you know, kind of taking that on Quan a little bit, like, you owe me a ship, basically. And Quan is still trying to sell him, like, no, I'm still good for it. If we find my aunt, you know, she mentions her aunt Sujin. Yep. Who kind of has control of the family fortune, as she puts it. Oh, she can still pay you for your trouble if we find her. And so, you know, that's kind of their next goal, basically. Meanwhile, we have another scene of Venture. He's in a bathhouse of some kind. So we're getting more Cheeks. We have so many Cheeks now. We had Master Cheeks in episode 3. We had Kai's Cheeks briefly earlier, and now Venture's. So a lot of near nudity in this show. But he's being visited in his bath by a mysterious woman named Franco. And Franco is apparently, you know, some kind of assassin, I guess, because
master assassin.
Yeah, she's pretty you know, she carries herself like a killer for sure. And, you know, Venture asks her, hey, I know that Quan Ha is here, and I can't afford her.
How do we know? Wait, how do we know, guys? Are you sure? Are you sure she's there?
It's not like she announced her presence at the marketplace or the vigil or anything like that.
I don't know.
How could they possibly know? Venture has his sources, I guess. And so he asks Franco, find Quan and clean up this quote-unquote loose end for me. Discreetly, please. And so that's not good. bad news for Quan. Meanwhile, we go back to Aridness, and John, you know, kind of confronts Halsey about his memory, and he demands to know, why were you in my house as a child? Like, I saw you right over there. I was young. Like, I wasn't on Reach yet.
My parents were still alive.
Yeah, exactly. My parents were still alive. I wasn't on Reach as a Spartan yet. Why were you here? And, you know, really calls her out directly. And of course, classic Halsey, she deflects and plays mind games, and she's, no, John, you're confused. You don't understand. Your memories have been muddled by the passage of time. Like, it was a long time ago. You were so young, and you went through so much. The trauma is, you know, making you think things that weren't there. Like, you know, just really doing the psych job on him. Like, oh no, memory, your mind can play tricks on you. And she then kind of appeals to John's sense of loyalty, really doing this guilt trip, love bomb bullshit on him. Like, I was always there for you. I've always looked out for you, and I always will.
We're pals, man.
You can trust me. It's, yeah, just really slimy shit. And, like, we as the audience, or at least I, you know, you can see right through it. You can see she's really on the defensive. Like, she's definitely being deceptive about something. She's hiding something. And I think John knows that too. Even though, like, she, you know, does that spiel and he sort of drops it at that point, but I think he wasn't entirely convinced. Meanwhile, Quan finally meets with her aunt Sujin. She manages to meet up with her along with Soren. And Sujin kind of has to break the bad news to Quan that, sorry, there is no family fortune. Like, the money's gone.
We're broke.
Really aren't any people left on Madrigal who are willing to continue Quan's father's fight. And, you know, Quan finally lets her emotional guard down. Like, her fire burns out a little bit. She kind of, on the verge of tears, admits that, you know, I feel like I have to do this. I have to pick up where he left off because he died to save me. It's like a very emotional motivation for her. It's like, I think she realizes at that point, like, how she's pursuing it is not rational. It's not practical. And that was an interesting moment. And Sujin kind of additionally confesses, like, in another revelation, like, Quan, your father wasn't what you thought he was. He was kind of crazy in the end of his life. She alludes to these kind of vague mystics, these people who live in the desert that Quan's father met with once, and they sort of led him astray. Like, there was some kind of weird prophecy.
Now we got a prophecy.
Yeah, a prophecy. Another one of those. Those are great. And it was very vague at this point. Like, we don't really get much concrete information about it, and neither does Quan, so she's kind of left hanging when Franco shows up. Like, this whole revelation's cut short because Franco shows up, kills Sujin's guards, then Sujin herself, and again, Quan loses her only family, really. She can't seem to catch a break. But interestingly, Quan and Franco seem to recognize each other. There's, like, this moment where it seems like they know each other from before, which is interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So Quan is saved at the last minute, luckily, by Soren, and they escape together, and they kind of leave town and look for another way to get off planet.
And real quick, Soren has this, like, literally, it is a Destiny handgun. Like,
yes,
it
hand
straight
cannon.
Up. I thought, yeah. I saw it, I was like, that's a hand cannon, that's a, like, that's the last word or some shit.
It's pretty,
like,
cool.
It,
yeah,
it looked straight out of Destiny. So I will say it was so cool.
They gave him it looks like a gold-plated revolver, and I was like, I mean, I love it. He's a criminal ruler of this outpost.
That
so
is
of
a,
he has a,
yeah. That's a pirate gun for sure. I like
yeah,
that.
It's a pirate
cool.
gun.
It was totally say. Cool. I
that
will say
pretty,
that was
that was
cool.
Pretty sweet. Yeah. So we're nearing the end of the episode. John and Halsey, kind of the climax is they're setting off to find the second artifact, and, you know, they're driving off into the distance to look for, you know, the spot that John remembered seeing. And while that's happening, we kind of go back to Kai and Miranda. It's just the two of them now. Riz and Vanek have sort of been dismissed at this point. But Kai and Miranda are, like, bonding over their...
They're hanging out. They're palling.
Yeah, they're just palling around. And they're just, like, working on their, you know, Sanghili translation project together. And they start bonding over their shared experiences of being raised, sort of, by Dr. Halsey in their own ways. Like, you know, Miranda is literally Dr. Halsey's daughter, but didn't really have much of a mother-daughter relationship with her, as far as we can tell. And similarly, Kai was trained and indoctrinated by Halsey, but, you know, neither of them had a, they have these, this shared sort of trauma of having Halsey be a formative person in their lives. And as they're working together, they realize that the Covenant chatter they've translated from the Sangheili warriors, they're realizing that the elites are mentioning something called the Sacred Ring. They're sort of uncovering clues about something they call Halo. So they're kind of hot on the trail of the same thing the Covenant's after. So they're piecing together the puzzle bit by bit. And I kind of like that, you know, Kai, you know, she's been on this emotional journey this whole episode, this whole process of self-expression and learning to think for herself. And she really bonds with Miranda here saying, like, you know, in a way, we're almost like sisters. So that was a pretty cool moment.
Yeah.
Mom was an asshole.
Right? Yeah, she sucked. And, you know, this final monologue from Miranda sort of seals the deal. She's talking to Kai about, you know, what Halsey's like, what drives Halsey, what really motivates her and defines her as a person. And she's kind of like warning Kai, like, you know, this thing you did with your hair, and indirectly it kind of applies to John too, about these, quote, small acts of rebellion. You know, Halsey will see them as glitches. Glitches in this grand experiment that she sees the entire universe as. And as Miranda knows too well, Halsey does not tolerate glitches. So We're kind of left with this tone of
ominous.
Yeah.
Ominous look.
Yeah. Ominous tone that, you know, Halsey's going to be a problem for these characters when she sort of stops getting what she wants. Because as Miranda makes it very clear, like, Halsey gets what she wants. Don't be a miscalculation for her because she doesn't like those.
Okay, now we've gone through the whiplash of this episode, back and forth and back and forth, the pendulum swing. We're going to take a quick break. We will be right back.
And that's the end of episode 4, Homecoming. I'm going to throw it to you, Kevin. I'm going to let you walk us through just your overall thoughts on this episode. Then, you know, Jaden, I'll let you spit the hot fire and I'll bring it home. Kevin, what'd you think in general?
Okay, so I still say episode 3 was better. I think the part that I enjoyed the most, like the one like storyline, was Kai following in Chief's steps to remove her inhibitor. I thought that was like really cool. And then like that whole story. But there's like parallels, but then there's also like differences. So like, unlike Chief, Kai's experiencing like all these human emotions and stuff alone.
Mm-hmm.
So like, Chief had Cortana to kind of like explain stuff to him, like, you're exhibiting anxiety, you're having this. And he's like, oh, that's what that is. Oh, okay. And like, she's like kind of almost explaining some stuff to him. Like, this is what you're feeling, I can tell from your blood pressure. Like, weird shit like that. But, and also, like, he leaves the base, and he's, like, doing shit in the, you know, everyday world. You know, he saw a couple loving each other on a, you know, giving each other a hug and a kiss, like, on the train. And, you know, he listens to music, sees this dog, you know, all this stuff. She just stays on the base. So she's still, like, surrounded by the same environment, but she's experiencing humanity within that environment. And even then, like within that environment, within like a military environment, you still aren't supposed to have much individuality.
Yeah.
So her like dyeing her hair and that kind of stuff, like just to stand out just a little bit, I thought that was kind of cool. Yeah. Like how she's maneuvering the experience. So she doesn't really have anybody guiding her situation.
Yeah.
And she is much more like rash. Like when it comes to like when she was doing the test with Miranda, she's just like, you don't like us very much, do you? And then like just out of nowhere. And then she's like, yeah, okay, whatever. And like grabs the like the artifact. And before she has all the machines, you know, set up for Miranda, and she's just like, boom. And like Miranda's in the room. Miranda's like, oh my God. And she's like, yeah, see, nothing. All right, cool. And like, she's much more rash, but then all of a sudden she's super laid back.
Yeah.
And she's like showing a personality a lot quicker than John. And I think the reason because of that is because the environment, but also like she's alone. So she has that freedom to show a personality. Whereas like Cortana like talks to Chief.
Or kept Chief in check.
Yeah, yeah. She kind of kept him in check still. Like he also does take his military like service and stuff like super serious like anyway. But it's just like it's really interesting to think of like the nature versus nurture kind of thing. In this like thought experiment, just because of like look at the environments, like they're two different environments. Like Chief, like I really want to say like Chief left. Like I think that had a huge impact. He experienced everyday humanity, whereas she's still stuck in that military.
She's probably going to go nuts if I had to make a prediction for later episodes.
I could totally see that. She doesn't, like, again, she doesn't have anybody there for her to, like, guide her and help her. So, like, she's had, you know, all she knows is military, and, like, she's kind of, I feel like she's excited about it. Like, we see her, you know, get excited with the Needler and that kind of shit. Like, I feel like that's kind of, you know, going, I feel like that nurture aspect is going to guide her in a possible, like, mental break episode, possibly, you know? I also thought it was pretty cool to see, like, how the experience pans out in just another way. And then there's, like, all these subtle hints to show that, like, she's, you know, no longer, like, quote, like, machine, you know, a weapon, whatever. Like, again, like, not standing at attention, speaking out of turn, and just walking around the room, too. Like, when they're in the lab, like, everybody's just standing there, and she's walking around. Even Miranda's just kind of standing there, and she's just, like, walking around, looking at everything. Her curiosity kind of takes over many times, which I thought was really cool, because it shows that, like, the Spartans are very smart, and they know a lot of, like, information and just stuff in general, but, like, they don't necessarily express that, whereas because she took that chip out, now she's, like, expressing it, but also, like expressing her knowledge, but also, like, absorbing everything like a sponge even more because of that curiosity. Like, I feel like if she still had the chip in, like, the other Spartans, they are learning things that are at a tactical advantage and that will help them in the field. And for her, it's more like she's hungry for the knowledge now. It kind of showed, you know what I mean? Like that it kind of showed that. I thought that was really cool. I don't feel very invested in Madrigal at all.
I feel you.
Correct.
It feels like filler, yo. Like, I feel like I'm watching some Naruto filler episode.
I have a feeling that the writers didn't know what to do with Kai's character after episode one.
Mm-hmm.
And it feels to me like they keep throwing shit at the wall and hoping that it'll be interesting.
You mean Quan's character?
Quan's character, yeah.
Okay.
Because they, like, it's like, all right, well, now she's going to go live with Soren. It's like, okay. Now she's going to go back to Madrigal. Okay. Now there's a prophecy. What? There's a prophecy now? It's like, yes. And she's going to be the general prophecy overlord lady. It's like, wait, what are you, what, pick one of these things to do with Madrigal, or none of these things, or like just have Master Chief, like that's another person that he saved and interacted with in his life and didn't care.
I think it would be cool, like, if the planet itself, like everything that's going on, was to eventually play like a larger role in their overall like arcing story, but it's so hard to like think like that, because right now all they're doing for it is like it's a rebel planet. Like it's just, I don't know, it just feels like I said, super filler.
I would love if we go the entire season with her, and she, you know, she leads the rebellion and rebuilds her Madrigal, finally free, and then the last episode the Covenant glasses it.
Damn.
No, god,
that would fit, I guess. Yeah,
that would fit so well with what they're doing with their show, where it's like, hey, nothing matters.
God.
Like, I don't think Reach is going to be around by the end of this season. I don't,
probably not.
I think Reach is probably going to get glassed.
We know Reach is doomed, pretty much. We know what happens if they follow that part of the canon.
If they follow that part of the canon, But it'd be silly if they didn't. But
here's the other thing too about Quan. Quan is a terrible spy and or fugitive. She shows her face literally everywhere. Like, I know I kind of touched upon that earlier, but like, holy shit, man! Like, you're getting loud in crowds. You're just giving yourself away the entire time. And I just think it's a bit ridiculous for the most wanted person on the planet to just start screaming at the top of her lungs. Like when she calls out, you know, the one general at the vigil, like at first she's a little loud. And then all of a sudden, like when she calls her out, like, why are you still alive? She just gets really loud and everybody starts kind of like turning. And I'm like, what the fuck is this kid doing?
Well,
like,
that's just, they're trying to show her naivete. Like she doesn't know how to be a general yet because she hasn't gotten
there. Yeah, she's just a kid. She's going
to, I don't know.
Kids make mistakes.
But that's not what I'm, but like, if you're going to die, you're a fugitive. They're trying to kill you.
I agree, man.
Like, you got to be hiding.
Like, she's being dumb, but that's kind of part of her character. She's a kid. Kids make mistakes. You know, teenagers are dumb, dude. What do you want?
I don't know. Life or death, though.
Teenagers are dumb.
I have a couple little things too, like I think John definitely owned a Great Pyrenees. I'm just going to make that, like, quote, canon for this because, like, I have a Great Pyrenees. I know I said that before, but, like, that dog was a Great Pyrenees. I'm just going to go with that. And then speaking of pets, the whole storyline in the lab, the Spartans are talking about how they all had pets and then, like, they were in, like, mock combat stuff. And if they lost, they had to kill their pet. And so, like, Kai's like, yeah, I don't remember what Kai had. It was, like, a dog. And then, like, what's his face had a pig.
Vanek had a pig, yeah.
Yeah. And so, like, they all named them and stuff. And they all actually kind of seemed, like, happy of their animals. Kai seemed happy and, like, excited to talk about it. Whereas, like, the other Spartans were, like, kind of, like, proud of it, if that makes sense. Like, for, like, their achievements almost. But then you find out that they, even if they won, so like if they lose the mock combat, they have to kill their animal. If they win, they get to keep it alive. And then and it's like, you know, taking care of something. And then all of a sudden, like at the end of the whole mock thing, when it's fully over, like tournament, whatever, you know, your multiplayer is over, you have to kill your animal. That was so fucked up.
Like it dies anyway.
And like it just shows how messed up Halsey is, and it just showed how messed up the Spartan program was, like psychologically. I was like, holy shit. So I liked that in terms of like it really showed how crazy these Spartans have to like,
which by the way is that, you know, I didn't do any research on this. My only source was the greatest television show ever, Deadliest Warrior.
Hell yes, dude.
But I do remember that there is some special forces out there that, like, that's part of their training is that they have to raise a chicken, name it, to care for it, and then they kill it.
That's fucked up.
I think that was the German special forces.
Messed up, man.
Wow.
And, like, that's all part of their training. And, again, my source is Deadliest Warriors. So I don't know if that's still a thing.
Well, we know that's as authoritative as it gets, though.
Oh, yes, of course.
I also really like to, like, showing the side of Spartans' experiences that they're, like, how they're undervalued and then, like, not even researched. Like, the fact that they knew these languages, all the stuff that they learn in the field, like it's kind of like the UNSC, like, doesn't really expect them to retain so much knowledge in the field, but, like, there's a lot that they have to deal with, like, covenant-wise and that kind of stuff, and it, like, nobody really knew. I don't know how that makes sense. I think more of they feel them as weapons, so, like, they don't really think they would learn necessarily, like, something new, kind of like that.
It's like they're not valued for anything beyond the battles they can
correct.
Win, and that's kind of the point Kai made to Miranda.
They're assets. They're not people.
Right. Correct. Exactly. Yeah.
And lastly, Halsey's assistant still freaks me the fuck out.
Yes. 100%. So Jaden, we didn't catch you. We weren't able to, hear your take on episode 3, but you know, just with that in context and, you know, having seen episode 4, a couple times because you forgot you watched it.
Okay. So I need to talk about this. So,
what'd you think?
To give you an idea of how much I didn't like episode 4, I watched it the day it came out and it was so unmemorable for me that I forgot that I watched it. So I had to, I literally sat down to watch it again. And I realized, oh wait, I've seen this already because my episode counter, was like, you know, down to zero. Uh-huh. So, or is it, you know, it was like, hey, continue watching. I was like, wait, did my brother watch this? We share an account. No, I watched this. Oh man, this was not
damn.
Good.
Ouch.
I think, episode 3 was where I decided I didn't like the show. Uh-huh. But I realized, like, the big reason why I don't like it in episode 4. Mm-hmm. I went to school, full disclosure, I went to school for video production and media production, which I know a lot of you are rolling your eyes now that you've heard that. I'm a filmmaker. No, that's not who I am.
I said that, too, in the last episode. I was going to view this whole thing cinematically rather than, like, Halo. Like, I don't know. I'm viewing it more, like, as a show.
Yeah, which is fine. But my big problem is that the number one rule that you teach when it comes to creating visual media is show, don't tell. Halo is a very busy, you know, busy product. It has a lot, you know, a lot of action sequences, a lot of fighting. There has not been a fight scene, a proper, like, big fight scene since episode 1.
Yeah.
You know, there was the assassin segment there with, like, the little close quarters combat in that broom closet that apparently they were in. But I mean, just my biggest example of this is when they're in the alien autopsy room and she picks up the needler and then explains to Dr. Keyes what a needler is. Mm-hmm. It's like, why did you not show me what a needler is?
Yeah.
You know, show me it exploding people into pink mist. And like the other thing too is like that, you know, one of the guys brags about, you know, it's like, you ever heard a grunt beg for its life? Now that's, I'm just like, I would love to see a grunt. If you've listened to any of our podcasts before, you know, I love the grunts. I love those Danny DeVitos of death, if you will. And I have yet to see the most common alien race in the Covenant once. It's baffling to me. And then, but the thing is, it's like, I don't know who the show is made for, because if you're making this not for Halo fans, you're making this for a mainstream audience, they're going to assume that a grunt is that dead elite on the table, because they don't know what a grunt is. Because grunts are frontline infantry, and the only infantry that we have seen are the elites. There is a surprising lack of Covenant in a show where they are the main antagonists.
Yeah.
They're supposedly, I think the creators of the show are trying to go for like a Game of Thrones, like, ooh, look at all the factions that we have in this world.
Oh, they
totally
are.
It's like, that's not what this property is. Yeah. Like in the books, in the media and everything, it's like, yes, the insurgents were there, but they kind of fell to the wayside because they were like, hey, the UNSC is bad, but these guys are literally trying to genocide us. Maybe we should deal with them first. And the show makes it seem like the Covenant are like this extra sideshow. Like, let's not worry about that. Let's find out what's going on Madrigal.
Yeah.
And I'm like, it means nothing, because the Covenant could show up and kill everyone.
Well, don't forget, though, when it comes to Halo, the whole point of Spartans, the creation of them, was to quell human resistance. And so I think what they're doing at the beginning of this show specifically is to show the infighting within humanity, and then kind of sprinkle Covenant on it. And like, then when the Covenant like kind of goes after the Halo and stuff, they really will probably show, and I'm just spitballing here, but I think what they're gonna do is probably show the Covenant fucking shit up a lot more, and then like making it so like humanity has to come together, and then the Spartans aren't gonna be like, you know, the enemy of rebellion and humanity. They're going to be the saviors of humanity. I think that's what they're leading up to. Like, I think they're trying to build that into it first.
That sounds
and then
right.
Maybe if they do another season, they'll make it way more about like Spartans versus Olympics and shit.
I sure hope so.
I mean, I would hope so, but it's like, also I'm like, that's the more interesting take. So why are you wasting all this time with me to pivot to that? But also I think honestly, like if I'm using the Game of Thrones metaphor, I think they're trying to turn the Covenant into the White Walkers.
Hmm.
Because all, you know, like the insurgency is like, oh, these guys don't exist, you know, like, oh, I always thought it was propaganda that the Covenant were around. I'm still going to watch the show, but I'm only watching it to talk with you guys about it, because I like talking with you about this stuff.
I'm honored. I appreciate that.
Yes, because I enjoy the content that we are creating, but but honestly, I feel like I put more time into my review of this than the creators of the show did making it.
I will say I 100% agree that we should be seeing grunts by now, and I 100% agree that that there need to be more actual battles with the Covenant. Like, that's what I want to see. So, you know, I
exploring Chief's humanity is a great thing.
Yeah, I'm glad I'm here
when
for
you
too.
Do it in spurts. Yeah. I feel like they're getting that out of the way first, and it's a mistake. Mm. It's like, that is what, you know, man or machine, that debate has been the core debate of Halo for so long. But you're not having the, like, it was on the side because you needed to see why Chief was useful.
Yeah. I get that.
You know, Chief should, you know, in the old canon, you know, Chief's being thrown from battle to battle. He never gets a chance to rest.
Yeah.
Like, he's been out of combat. Like, he hasn't shot a gun in 3 episodes.
Yeah.
You know, he's a super soldier who's not being a super soldier. And I'm like, I don't understand who this is for. I'm just trying to figure out, because I don't like any of these characters yet. There's not one that's made me go, yes, I like you. Because they keep throwing this unnecessary stuff on something that's a very simple premise. It's like, whoever is creating this wanted to be big-brained and like tell this deep, rich, lore-filled story. And I'm like, cool, but you're not doing the other part of this that is already deep and lore-filled. That stuff is interesting, but it's not interesting to me because I want to make my own
thing.
You know
who you're sounding like, though, when you say, like, he hasn't been a weapon, like, he's not a weapon? There's one character who continuously keeps saying that, and you're agreeing with them a lot. And I mean, it's not Halsey, but it's Halsey's assistant. He keeps saying, it's a, you know, he's a weapon. He's not acting like a weapon. Like, why are we doing, like, he should be the weapon. Like, he's a weapon. He should be a weapon. Why are you letting him kind of become a human? Why are you letting him do? So you're agreeing with the fucking weirdo. I'm throwing that out there, man. Like, you know.
You can say that. You can be mean and say a horrible thing that you relate me to that monster. You fucking asshole. But here's the thing, though. He's not wrong.
Exactly.
Keef is a weapon. Yeah. Like, let's see him use his skills for Christ's sake.
But hey, they're acknowledging that. At least they're acknowledging that. They know. Like, I feel like the writers know. They're like, yeah, it's fucking stupid. He should be a weapon. Like, I mean, they acknowledge it.
I mean, oh God, I'm just like, man, I just don't think, like, you can't sell me on a game like this. And that's my problem.
It's not a game.
It's not a game, though. It's a TV show.
It's a show. It's a show based on a game that's way more interesting than this.
Yeah, but I mean, like, again, it's a general audience. Like, they're trying to get general people. So, like, again, like, these couple episodes building
the world. I think they tried to make Game of Thrones, and I'm like, this is not the media to adapt into Game of Thrones.
Like, it feels way more world-buildy, if anything.
Jaden, I was going to ask, are you done? But that would have sounded really rude. No, okay, so...
No, Connor, I'm not done. I still have the mic, Mr. Senator, I still have my... I will not yield the floor.
No, I hear all that. I respect all that. I guess I just see it differently.
You're wrong.
No, I'm not. No. This is not an argument show.
I know.
This is not a show. This is not Halo series on Paramount Plus. Is not one of those shows that I'm going to fight people on and, like, die on a hill over, because I enjoy it. I'm enjoying it so far. But there are many, many valid criticisms, and there are many sort of perspectives that are completely subjective that I just don't share, but I see the point of. So to Jaden's gripes and complaints about the show, like, I really have no answer other than I like it. It's fine with me. Like, there's really nothing to say other than, you know, we're experiencing the same show. We're just taking it in very different ways.
Yeah.
So, no, it's like...
I do actually, Connor, I do want to put you on a hot seat real quick, if you don't mind.
Go for it.
Step in this chair for me real quick. The seat is quite
comfy. Oh, yeah, I'm settling in. It's pretty comfy in this
Okay, yes. Okay. There's some soda to the left
there. Thank you.
And some chips.
Very nice.
See, what I'm doing is telling, not showing, because we're doing an audio medium. Fucking assholes, writers. After watching, I think it was episode 4, you tweeted a very suspect tweet. Tweeted out, I'll make sure I get the exact quote here. I wasn't prepared for this. I just wanted to fire this back at you. You said something to the effect of, this show is fine for you because you weren't expecting it to be great.
Sure.
But for what it is, you're enjoying it.
Sure.
Is that basically the concept of the quote?
Yeah, it was more or less like, the key to watching it for me is just not expecting anything other than, that wasn't bad. By that metric, I liked episode 4. It was decent.
Okay. Yeah. I just feel that is not a good metric to judge a
product. I'm not saying it is. I'm just saying it's the metric I'm using.
That is the metric to judge the waffle maker that you got on sale on Amazon. It is not for a product that allegedly cost $12 million an episode to make.
I'll be very clear about something. I have really low standards for TV. Let me say why. Because there's so much of it out there to watch that, like, I just don't see the point in getting wrapped up in, like, what's good and what's not good. Like, I don't care what's good or what's not good. I only care about what I enjoy watching. And because, like, my time is valuable to me, and I'm not going to waste time watching a show I'm, like, literally not having fun watching. So, like, that's my only metric. That takes precedence over whether or not I think it's a technically, objectively good product. I don't really care about that. I care if I enjoy it or not. And just if I can get specific on what I did like about this episode, or even the things I didn't like.
Yes, yeah. Please.
Well, I hope that answers your question. Like, I know that that's not a good, like, I know that that's not the ideal that TV should shoot for. I know that TV, like, can't, like, I know that this series could be better. And I know that generally TV shows should strive to be better than the Halo series has been so far. But based on my standards of a TV show and my expectations of an adaptation, really, adaptations are almost always terrible from games generally. So I shoot low. I'm like, if I don't actively hate it and I find things about it that I like, yeah, it's a good experience for me. So I guess specifically for episode 4, I just really enjoyed just this continuation of John sort of figuring himself out, exploring his past. It was, I loved that scene where he's just like, remembering things and smiling. I just, that was a heartwarming moment, and I really enjoyed that. And like, related to that is Halsey's discomfort at like seeing him relive this stuff and like knowing that he's going to uncover things that are very bad for her. And I, you know, it's satisfying to see Halsey be uncomfortable because we all don't like her. So, you know, also like I really liked Kai, her growth here, like her, you know, moments of stepping out into her own and, you know, watching her think for herself. I found it a little strange that Riz and Vanek kind of just let it slide. They didn't seem concerned that Kai was behaving kind of out of the ordinary at the lab. But the flip side of that was that the banter between Silver Team was really entertaining. I just liked watching them open up a little bit and kind of, you know, the fatalistic and sort of like dark gallows humor way that they look at the world is really interesting to me. And I like seeing more of them just sharing their thoughts on things like, yeah, Kai, you know, you mentioned Jaden, the grunts thing. I agree. We need more grunts. We should, or not even more grunts. We need grunts. Period. We haven't seen them yet. But yeah, no. Even without that, though, I just liked, you know, have you ever heard a grunt beg for its life? And Vanek just like kind of chuckles. He's like, it's pathetic. I don't know. It's just fun watching them shoot the shit together. Like I just enjoyed that on its face. And yeah, no, there's missing context of what grunts are, and I agree with you there. But I still liked the banter. To Kevin's point, the Madrigal arc was pretty dull to me at first. It was kind of the B plot of this episode, and at first I wasn't a fan of it, but I thought it went in an interesting direction toward the end, at least. Like it at least went somewhere. But while it was happening, I remember feeling kind of annoyed with this really, I'm going to call it a trope. I'm going to call it like the generic teenage character with a one track mind trope, where like, it's a young character and they're just doing dumb stuff and not thinking things through. Like it's a trope. We see it in a lot of media. And we touched on this earlier. Like Kevin, we talked about like, yeah, she's a bad spy, but also she's kind of a clueless kid, just doesn't know this stuff yet. But so that was a little bit of a turnoff for me, but like I did see when she started to question the value of this crusade she's been on, when she starts to like hear these things about her father, that's making her question her motives. I was glad to see that payoff, like that kind of growth in her, or at least a little bit, at least a hint of it. So the Madrigal part of the episode went somewhere at least, but it was a little dull at first. But well, it was a little treat to see Soren just front kick a dude across the alley and like, you know, just break some arms, like showing some of that Spartan training in a quick little fight scene. So that was pretty cool. Just throwing it out there, more scenes of Bern Gorman chewing the scenery. I'm never going to say no to that. More venture.
Again, the bright spot in the directness. I'm like, I'm supposed to hate you, therefore yeah, you are a good
yeah,
character.
More venture is fun. He's a fun character. He's fun to watch. And I'm going to point out a few lore tidbits that I really liked seeing.
Yes,
Kai please. Was talking about, you know, learning wolf pack tactics in the Spartan program. You know, that's in the book, I vividly remember a passage from The Fall of Reach where the young Spartans watched holograms, like, you know, holographic projections of wolves hunting their prey and kind of learning that tactic. And, you know, also, you know, John's memory of him calling out Eagle Side Up when he's flipping Halsey's coin directly from the books. Loved that. Kai saying that she studied military strategists from Sun Tzu to Preston Cole. That was awesome. That's not from the books, but Preston Cole is a book character that they called out. Fucking awesome. Yep. Loved that.
Cole Protocol was in effect.
That's right.
We
mentioned that. Yeah. I love that too. CPO Mendez, Chief Petty Officer Mendez, was the drill instructor for the Spartan program. And so he was there at the beginning. I could have used more of him, but it was pretty cool that he was at least mentioned. So that's all to say, like, the way I generally approach this show is like, I'm just watching a TV show based on some stuff that I know, but it's also doing a lot of new stuff. And the main source of enjoyment for me at this point, especially for this episode, was just kind of letting it happen, taking it as it comes. And when I notice something that's from the books, I point, I do the Leo thing. Yeah. I do the Leo DiCaprio thing. I'm like, that's cool. I like that. And then I move on. And that's how I just sort of let the show wash over me. And yeah, I think I'll agree with Kevin. I think episode 3 was still a little bit stronger, but I thought this one was generally pretty solid. But no. Jaden, you're right. I need more battles. I need grunts. I need this show to really start going somewhere. It did some cool stuff again, like in episode 3, but I really hope it goes somewhere soon. I hope it goes to some like big set piece battles and we really see what Spartans are made of. And John has, you know, some more, just more action, you know, like,
It feels like they're afraid to do action.
It's like
sequences.
Either they're really holding, they're keeping their powder dry for like the season finale, or they're just, you know, waiting to bust that out. But no, yeah, it is. It's not in a slump that I thought. Like, okay, I thought episode two was a little bit of a slump, and then three and four are starting to bring it back a little bit, at least with like interesting character moments, if not with set piece action. So,
yeah.
I'm hoping that we get to a point where we're really balancing character moments and set piece action in a really like dynamic way. I hope we see that at some point. That's who knows, but as usual, we're left with who knows.
For me, the more Cortana, the better, because I'm enjoying just that aspect a lot.
Yeah, I like this. I like this version of Cortana so far. Yeah. Now, again, mixed bag generally. That's been my verdict so far. Some cool stuff, some boring stuff. It is what it is. Anything else you want to mention?
I'll say this. I'm still having fun, and I think that's what matters. Is like, if you're having fun, you're having fun. If you're not, then you're not. I think, again, if I wanted to see the stories from the video games, I'd just play the damn game. I'm not here to get the same rehash, you know? I mean, I think that story's kind of been beaten so much that we know what happens. I still am in the boat of I wish it was new characters and they didn't choose the same people. I think this kind of prequel style situation is fine, whatever, I'll take it. But I will say, you know, the magical stuff is really boring. I'm sorry, I'm not invested in it.
Yeah.
I don't have a reason to be invested.
At least
I think me knowing that I know like the Halo and all that stuff, like I know that it doesn't matter. Unless it does, who knows? But for the story, as of now, bleh, okay, whatever. And yeah, I think the exploring humanity stuff is cool. And I will say, for what we're getting right now, as a story of what it is taking away the Halo part, yeah, it's fine. I think to get generic people to watch, I've had people that I know who've never played the games are like, yeah, I'm watching that Halo series. Now, they're total boomers. And they're like, I'm watching that Halo series. It's pretty good. This is what you kids were talking about. And I'm like.
And I'm screaming into the mic, no, please, God, don't think this is
what
it is.
But I tell them, I'm like, it isn't, it's not. And you know, again, like I said in episode three, like, you know, the only analogy I can think of is like an Uncanny Valley style analogy. But they are enjoying it. And I think if people who have never experienced Halo or at least getting invested in this, and then it makes them interested in the games, I don't think that's a bad thing.
I would love it very much if like a, you know, the 60-year-old man who turned this on instead of Blue Bloods starts like, I'm gonna pick up the games, and he picks it up. He's like, there's way too much action in this. What's going on? It's so fast. Where's my slow discussion about humanity?
I will throw out there really quickly. My fiance, who knows nothing about Halo, does like this show. She says it's actually pretty interesting. So I don't know what that means. She's never played a game, never read a book, but she does think the show is pretty cool. So take that for how it is. But
hey, and that's fine. My final thought. I'm like, man, I'm gonna keep watching because I love talking to you guys about it. But I mean, I'm just like, I wish to God we had some, like, either of you had something better to say than like, it's fine.
I do too.
You know, like that's my. That's the biggest crime that I think I will accuse this show of, is it's like neither one of you can come out and be like, oh, this show is fantastic. You know, I wish that we could have a lively debate about it, but it's like, you know, it just feels like it's like when someone gives you creamed spinach. You're like, it's fine. Like I didn't want that with my dinner tonight.
See,
but
like,
it's,
we
I'll
thought
eat
that
it.
About
like,
episode
fine.
Three.
I was promised green bean casserole. Or sweet potato casserole, and I was given creamed spinach. And I'm like, clearly you took time to make this and you prepared it.
I also wish
right.
I could say it's fantastic, but I am glad to say that I can point out things that I like about it. I can point out scenes that I enjoyed.
There you go.
Themes that I enjoyed. There's things to like about it. It's just not an overall amazing experience. It's not like as a package, as a whole. It's not blowing me away still.
Yeah, we said we really liked episode three. Like, episode three, we're like, yes, this episode, this is legit. But then, like, as the whole package so far, the package is, it's better. It's a better package. It's looking a lot nicer. But it still feels like, you know, somebody beat the shit out of my package on the way to my house.
No, you know what it is? You know what it is? You ordered Halo off of Amazon, and when it was delivered, you went, what is this? And they go, it's Halo. It's got two A's
in
it.
We got the Wish version of Halo. God.
Yeah, you got the discount version of Halo.
I got the Mega Blocks instead of the Legos.
Well, that about wraps it up. We hope you enjoyed this episode. I certainly did more than watching it. And if you did, please take a second to rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. It really helps us grow our show. And of course, be sure to connect with us on Twitch, Instagram, and Twitter at lore_party. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll catch you next time.